The Garnet Wager is a show where two players compete in a fantasy-style competition while watching episodes of The Genius. Players accumulate points based on the actions of their chosen fantasy contestants in the game show, and these points are tracked over the course of the season. The player that wins in fantasy points for that episode wins the episode, and can assign media homework for that episode. The loser must report back on that media at the end of the episode. This competition is not just for the hosts. Rules are made available to anyone who wants to play as you listen along with us. Welcome to Season 2. Welcome to the Garnet Wager. Begin.
Welcome, friends and folks, to another episode of the Garnet Wager. We're here to discuss garnets, the precious gemstone found in the earth.
That's us.
Alan, do you have any strong feelings about garnets?
I really like pearls. I think pearls inside of clams are really fun. I like clams. I like saying the word clams. But garnets specifically, I mean, I like Steven Universe, but those big red rocks in the earth, like, what are you going to do with them? Sell them? Wear them? Who knows?
Well, it's interesting you should ask what you should do with them, because I would say that the use of garnets are commonly, as you would know, of course, they're used for jewelry, but they also have some industrial uses. For example, garnet sand is a good abrasive and a common replacement for silica sand and sandblasting.
Wow, tell me more about the word silica and where it comes from.
Well, it's based on silicon.
Okay, is that true?
I don't know.
Hello, welcome to the Garnet Wager, where we talk about the Korean game show The Genius and play Fantasy Genius at the same time.
Oh, wrong podcast.
Yeah.
I do this all the time.
This week we watched Season 2, Episode 4, which is called The Blackout Game. Six, I'd like to start, as I often do, by asking you, what did you think of The Blackout Game?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
What? Why not?
It was a weird episode.
Oh, okay. I thought you were you were scaring me or something.
No, I'm not doing a thing. I don't know how I feel about this episode. I feel like this was an episode, so I said that I was going to go into the season, and I was going to be a fan of plays, not players.
Yep.
And this episode really tested my resolve.
How so?
Because Unkyul was the big playmaker of this episode. And I ended this episode being like, man, fuck that guy. I fucking hate that guy.
Right.
But he made a play. And like, if Song Min had made the same play, would I have been like, oh, okay, that's fine?
Because it would have racked you up a million points?
Well, fantasy points, whatever, right? Like, I instituted a rule last week that so far the only person it would punish is Yuan, one of my players. Like, mm-hmm. Obviously I want to win fantasy points, but like, I can root for people outside of that. I think it's great that Jinho's kicking ass, even
right.
though it's punishing me a lot. But like, I don't know, I guess that's part of what I want to discuss is like, well, okay, how did you find this episode?
The reason I was saying before we recorded, like, I'm really excited what you thought of the game was, so the Blackout Game is really weird. It's like, I think it's the most non-traditional game that we've seen so far, because a lot of it is based on intuition. Alliances and prediction and, teamwork matter. But as the defender, I guess they call them, you're literally playing blind. And it's more on the attackers to make the plays and to decide, like, oh, how are we going to mess with this person's head and get them to make bad decisions? But, like, it's shot in a really fun way, because it's all in night. A lot of this episode is in night vision, because in the Blackout game, a person sitting in a chair looks out at people who have the option to cross a line or not. And if they cross the line and don't get called out for it, then they get points. But if they don't cross and he calls out, then it's bad. There's a bunch of like minutia to it, but I just feel like as the defender, you're not doing much. You're just kind of like either yes or no. Like I'm either right or wrong. It's gonna. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really. There isn't a lot of depth to it. So I feel like it just kind of happened. Like it's funny watching people like dance back and forth and do like little games. Like oh, don't let them see your jewelry or whatever. But it didn't feel like a very tactical game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I'm kind of disappointed because there were some, like Yuan, I thought for a minute that Yuan was actually going to have some shit this episode, because there's like, oh, Yuan's like, okay, and if you do this, you can make light reflect off of yourself, and like, here's this, like, was it like a tape recorder, like playing a sound of someone walking or whatever? Like, he was doing some shit, and just none of it mattered at all.
Yeah. It's almost there just so they could say they did that. Like, mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah, it felt pretty underwhelming. And I guess that's part of why it's okay that I was dissatisfied with the play. Is that it isn't like there was this, like, this big, like, clashing of strategy and tactics and, like, wait, why is this going wrong, right? Like, there wasn't that.
No.
It was just sort of like they goofed around, and then it was like, oh, one person, for reasons that I guess we can talk about, but like it seemed like almost spitefully just decided to sabotage the game to fuck someone over.
Right.
And that sucks.
It's a king-making play. It's just like I'm here to fuck with things. It's just like, why? You're talking about Uncule's play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, it didn't. It also didn't pan out until the end. Like I sometimes get annoyed when the show doesn't give me the tools to know that that's happening mm-hmm. until it happens. I was just talking recently with another friend about detective fiction. Like I had you read last season that Edgar Allan Poe short story, and
sure.
Detective fiction in its inception was really successful because it always made sure to give the reader the ability to guess. And to figure out who the person was, who the killer was. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all there. In every Sherlock Holmes story, you are able, if you pay enough attention and read between the lines, to know who the killer is. And, like, television in general has gone away from that because it's more about characters than it is about, like, answers.
Well, and this is a big problem of, sorry to go on off a bit of a tangent, yeah. But that's a big part of why I find Danganronpa to be really frustrating, is that Danganronpa doesn't, like... It's supposed to be like this detective investigation style game about characters, but I feel like they really cheat on a lot of that, like giving you the pieces to solve the puzzle. You know, again, it's sort of a tangent, but like in the third Danganronpa, like main game, the motive of the killer is literally never relevant. Like you often don't even find out their motive until the case is already solved. And it's like, that's not how cases work.
Right, it ends up making me just less invested in the case, because I'm like, well, why do I care? If you're just going to tell me that it's something I couldn't have predicted, then why did I care from the start?
Exactly.
So I think that was my problem with the Uncule play, was like, all right, well, that happened. That was happening the whole time, and I didn't realize it. Like even
do you think it's a fault of editing?
I sort of. I think that they could have showed their hand a little bit more, because like last week's Dewey play was fun, because you saw everything happening and you got hints like something's weird here every time he mm-hmm. would leave, and you got just enough of it to know like, all right, I can tell something is weird, period. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I had any tools to know that Uncule was the double agent here.
I mean, there was the play where they were like, okay, we're all crossing over, and then Uncule didn't. He was like, oh, I didn't know which side was which, and I like, at the time that smelled fishy. At the time that smelled like bullshit.
Right. At this point, we don't have the players like Junkyul at the beginning of the season being like, I don't know how the rules work. Like, everyone relatively knows how rules work.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of good comedy, though, that I'd love to shout out. As a result of this game being kind of weird and mindfucky, like Hong Chul having a lot of fun being an attacker and, like, switching sides and then walking up to the defender, and then when they'd open their eyes, he's like, hi, hello. They're just like, not even, I think like Juwan was on the other team and he was like, oh, like he doesn't get shocked. He's just like, all right, what's up? Hey, friend.
Yeah, they know each other pretty well. I think Juwan, like, I bet Juwan didn't expect it, but also Juwan's like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. If someone's going to jump up on me, it's going to be Hong Chul. And then also, I think at one point they're like, oh, you can hear the sounds through the chair. Like the sound bounces off the chair, and between rounds, a bunch of them, it's like, Jino and Junkyul are like, oh, if you put your ear up to the chair, you can hear all the sounds. And then everyone else leaves and Junkyul's like, wait, really? And like puts his ear up to the chair and then realizes everyone else left and they're fucking with him. And he's like, wait, what?
And he spends a while just sort of sitting there like, huh, I don't hear it. Huh. There's no one walking. There's no one in the room. I wouldn't hear.
There's nothing I would hear. Like, what am I listening for? I died. That was so fucking funny.
It was pretty good.
This show gets to have fun with its premise because its players are really fun. Like, it comes down to, like, if the players... So we talk about how, end of the day, I want my players to be clever, and I want them to make good teamwork or make good teams and all that stuff. But, like, it's important to be light and have a little bit of fun. Like, if everyone was, like, super dry and serious, I would honestly get kind of bored of the show. It keeps you invested. It keeps you invested when Hong Chul and Juwan are on opposite teams, and they're like, oh, my friend, like, walks into the room and, like, sees his buddy, and he's, like heart eyes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I was weirded out because I thought that was a thing that the show was drumming up. Like, I feel like they did that last season with somebody where it was just, like, two guys who were friends, and they kept making jokes about them being, like, boyfriends, but not really. I just find that joke really exhausting, but knowing that they already had prior history is like, oh, they're just doing their own bit. It's not like the show making anything out of it.
Yeah, no, it's just their existing shtick, I think. Yeah. So, I guess there are a couple things I wanted to, like, so first off, just real quick touch, Jonghyun gets another under-the-radar win.
Yep.
He's 4-for-4 on main match wins, while everyone still thinks he's clueless.
Absolute goat. Never gonna lose.
How long is this gaslighting gonna go on for?
Like second to last round, dog. Like, just basically, like, nearly all the way. He can't win, because eventually you have to play a DM, and he's gonna lose in a DM, but he's going. He's going places, baby!
Would I, like, if this were, like, if this were actually a TV show... it'd be like there'd be an episode where, like, where Junghyun didn't show up and Bandage Man was like, oh, sorry, he couldn't make it today, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, the game goes really bad and everyone's like, oh man, like, we just got, like, destroyed, and the Bandage Man takes off his bandages and it's Junghyun. He was like, I just wanted to see what it was like playing among you. You are all fools.
I win again. Good night.
Like, he's serious. Like, he has that fucking reference was gonna be a spoiler. But, like, that, like, pretending to be clueless but is secretly, like, the mastermind.
What were you
thing
reference?
Going on Persona 4.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I literally thought you were gonna reference Persona 4. We are friends who know each other very well.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I
love him. I think it's magical. It really, what it is you can really get by in this show with teamwork and just being in the right place at the right time. You don't actually have to be that technically savvy to kick butt.
And also, it's really valuable to just not be considered a threat. Like,
right.
Even if he was on the losing team, there's, like, no world in which someone takes him to the DM because they don't care.
Well, like, he's not exactly. Everyone who goes to the DM is, like, it's, like, a threat. It's, like, or it's a guarantee that you won't go to the DM. He doesn't need to get anything. He's not a player in that way. He's not a player with stakes. He's just there to play. I like him a lot.
Even if someone was like, I need to take someone easy to the DM, I need to take someone I know I can beat, they would make their pick, and they'd start heading to the DM. They're like, shit, Junghyun was on the other team. Shit, I forgot.
Oh, crap.
Like, he just slipped by. he has a complete lack of presence in a way that is...
staggering.
Like, genuinely, I'm sure it's an act, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's super good.
So, I want to talk about Eunkyul.
Yeah. The magic man himself.
Yeah. We finally got someone making a reference to magic. But I guess that was in the DM, so I have to wait on talking about that. So what he did was he sold out his team mm-hmm. for no personal gain because he decided that he needed to get rid of one of the people who had a lot of
Garnet?
TV experience.
Oh, yes.
Basically, his thing was like, okay, like, Hong Chul and Jiwon have a ton of experience together. They're going to help each other out. So I need to get rid of one of them, or I need to get rid of Songmin because everyone knows Songmin and, like, has some level of connection to him because he's, like, kind of the biggest celebrity there.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So first off, what do you make of that logic?
It's, I think incorporating people's persona and their, as we talked about in the preseason, like, their social game stat into your decision for, like, who to take down is interesting, but... it feels almost cheap. It's like, oh, you're using like the real life person and their relationship to people, to fuck people over. It just feels like an artificial reason to decide like this is my turn. Like really, I think he just wanted to do a big turn, and was looking for a reason. And he's like, oh, well, this dynamic is going to be dangerous in the long run. And you could argue that it's a long play, but it's an excuse, yeah.
Huh? Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I feel like. I mean, part of it is I feel like his logic is kind of flawed. I mean, like, it makes, if you're like, okay, I'm going to pick someone to go home, like, sure, that makes sense. But if you're picking someone for the DM and you've seen so many games that are, like, group influenced, it's like, I'm going to pick someone who's really popular and thus will survive because they'll get help. Like, okay, that's a plan, I guess. Like, wouldn't it make more sense to get rid of people who are followers?
Right. Kill the pawns and then come for the king. Like, that's the safer play. I think, yeah, like, tricking someone into going into the DM would have been just a smarter play in general. Like, this doesn't work out for him, obviously, at the end of the day. But there is something really exciting and almost scary about it seeming like the game is going kind of fine, and then Team Yun Sun gets the final total, and it's like, the bandage man is like, Team Yun Sun has accrued 0 points. And you're just like, whoa, like the bottom drops out of the game. Again, that great moment where it feels like everything you've thought about is just gone. And they're like, there's foul play here. Like, they immediately know. They're like, this is unbelievable. Like, the good guitar music cuts in and you're just like really invested. And then it becomes this investigation. Like, it feels like they're doing that more and more every week now where there's like a big twist. Mm-hmm. I messaged you being like, oh, that was a big twist, I guess. I don't know what else to make of it.
I think the part where you win, I guess, is what we talked about, right? Is the part where it feels like it wasn't foreshadowed and the logic wasn't particularly sound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like, I mean, it's not even as good as, but it's kind of like when Jiwon lied about his number in the game where you form like the straights. And it's like, okay, well, why did you lie about that, man? Like, what did you gain here?
In this case, Uncule literally lost.
I mean, you know, he couldn't necessarily have predicted that. And that is also, yeah, we'll talk about the DM, but it is also not entirely his fault.
No,
he kind of got screwed. Yep. I don't know. There's a lot going on with the politics in the DM. The DM might actually be more meaty than the main match.
This week, I think so, yeah. But before we get there, I just, regarding Uncule, I feel like I forgot what I was about to say, and now I'm stalling for time until my brain can recall it.
You feel like you just, you know, he had a decent showing, but you really wanted to see a little more magic happen. He had some good plays, but it wasn't exactly sorcery, you know?
Oh, like, my God.
Had a few tricks, but they weren't quite good enough.
Yeah, all that. Are you just made of puns? Is that... your composition? Like,
were those even puns? Or what? I was just saying words.
Yeah, just
I mean,
words.
Like, there's kind of a bar that I went to the hurdle and I just sort of ran through all the hurdles and then, you know, got to the end and, like, pumped my fists. Like, yeah,
yay,
I did it.
Where's my medal? Ugh, yeah. You're a cartoon character. It's a weird one. I would have liked it more if I had seen it coming at all. Uncule, in my, like, long game, because of how we're playing Fantasy Genius, I've been thinking a lot about, like, what does the top three look like? What does the top four look like? Which person gets eliminated in which order? And how can we work our picks around me keeping people around the longest? Because I've determined that you're going to get the most fantasy points from just keeping people who are long-term players, a.k.a. Jino and Junkuel for life. So I'm not thinking... Like, Unkuel was not even in the equation of characters who I pay attention to. It's just like, oh, this rando-ass dude is, like, doing bad stuff? All right. One of the teams lost because of him. That super sucks.
It's kind of interesting because with him alongside Junghyun, you had these two under-the-radar style players. But Junghyun's style of under-the-radar is, like, seeming kind of helpless and incompetent all the time in a way that makes people, like, kind of feel bad for him and ultimately dismiss him. Whereas Unkuel feels very much like a person who keeps looking for an opportunity. And I would say that when you come right down to it, like, Junghyun's method is smarter and Unkuel's is just a little more arcane.
You're deleted.
Come on, that was a good wind-up. You gotta respect it.
I'll give you it.
Huh. I gave you some homework this week, didn't I?
You did. That's true.
Let's talk about cooking. I love to cook.
It's a really fun... I mean, this is only, what, the second real-life thing you've given me to do? The first one was tea? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember I was thinking about that specifically because... With that one, it was like, oh, I got to go to the supermarket, and I got to get all these supplies, and I got to think about, like, what brands I like to buy, and like, the process of buying the materials was pretty much half the fun. With this, Six had me make hollandaise sauce. It was entirely about the execution. I did not have to buy anything for this. I just had the time, and what I needed was some patience and a lot more care. And like confidence, there was a lot about where I was like, is this like something I'm missing as like a personal skill that's making it hard to do hollandaise sauce? So let's get into it. I mean, hollandaise sauce, for people who don't know, is it's a sauce usually served with breakfast food, like eggs benedict or just plain old eggs or toast, mainly comprised of egg yolk, butter, and lemon juice. Mixed, blended, ideally, whisked very quickly to the point where the egg doesn't fry, or scramble, rather. And various spices are added. Six had me add paprika to my mix. I made this twice. The first time was a cartoon failure. it was kind of bad. I think, what did we determine was the problem? Oh, the problem was I just used a very bad recipe the first time.
Well, it's used a bad recipe, and also you whisked it instead of using a blender, which is totally doable, but it's a lot harder. And ultimately, so the process of making hollandaise is like you create the egg mixture with the lemon juice, and you know, like the spices. Sometimes you do water, sometimes you don't. I tend not to. I don't like recipes that use the water very much. And then you drizzle in butter and mix it together. Uh-huh. And the butter is very hot.
Yep.
And the trick to making hollandaise is mixing it consistently and quickly so that it doesn't scramble the eggs before they're integrated into the sauce.
Right. It's a lot of chemistry, actually. It's really fascinating, like temperature-wise. Because technically, isn't the butter cooking the egg?
If you do it wrong, yes. If you do it right... It mixes together before it cooks and becomes a new thing. It forms a stable emulsion.
That's so interesting, yeah.
But yeah, but if you do it wrong, it cooks.
Well, but what I mean is, like, are you then eating raw egg yolk when you're making perfect hollandaise sauce?
I mean, you are, yeah.
That's no good. That's really not good for you. Isn't the yolk, like, not the healthy part?
You got, I could explain it, but it's safe.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm sure it's safe, but I mean, like, cholesterol-wise, I know the yolk is, like, the part you don't...
Oh, like. I mean, it's not, like, good for... It's a very rich sauce.
Yeah, it's a tasty sauce.
But, like, as far as, like, being, like, a source of, like, bacteria, it's not...
No, yeah, I'm sure. We also get, like, very good sourced eggs and everything. But the funny thing, and this is also tying into it being about, like, chemistry and mixtures... The sauce I made still tasted fucking fantastic. I really liked eating it.
That's excellent.
It's just not... It wasn't hollandaise sauce. It was... like a sad mix of those ingredients that we just listed, not coalescing into a sauce, but more into just like a liquid, like a water. And it tasted fine and the proportions were good, but I was like, this doesn't look right. And then I sent you a picture of it and you were like, oh, you super scrambled those eggs. You like scrambled them to pieces. So I made it again. And I was like, all right, I had a long day, but I'm here. I got plenty of time. No one else is in the house. I'm doing it right. And I'm using Six's recipe. You sent me a recipe towards the end of this week. And I was like, all right, this is going to be perfect. I have all the instructions. And I did everything right. I did all the mixtures right. This is getting into my other favorite thing, which is I think I just like, I probably will like baking more than I'll like cooking. Because putting exact proportions of things into a thing and then making a new thing is super satisfying and good. But telling me like, all right, keep this blender on low, and while it's still blending, slowly pour this butter in is like one too many steps for my brain. So I think I just like, well, first of all, the blender I use is just like a regular like stand up makes a protein shake blender, which means it has one button that makes it go, and it goes very fast. So it probably just like fucked up the egg real quick. And then also, I didn't have a good method for pouring the butter, so it like kind of just dunked. It fell in very fast. And then I just had, again, a big mixture of stuff. It was a little bit thicker. I know you were saying, like, ideally the texture ends up being like mayonnaise, but...
Yeah, mayonnaise is probably... I was probably overstating it a bit with mayonnaise, but it is significantly thicker, usually.
Yeah. I think I can do it. I know I'll be able to do it. I just don't want to... It's just a lot. It takes a decent amount of time and patience and the right tools.
So hollandaise is a sauce that like, so I had I have a as dumb as it is, I have a history with Eggs Benedict.
Hell yeah.
Where it is the first like breakfast dish I came to really love. It is still my favorite food, period.
Wow.
And I, for a while when I was, you know, in like high school, I was living in a town called Carbondale, and there was a cafe there, and I would go there like just to like usually twice a month or something, and every time I would get Eggs Benedict, and it sort of became like a ritual for me. And eventually I moved away,
right?
And I was like, I need to learn to make hollandaise myself. And at this point I can do a hollandaise almost with my eyes closed.
Wow.
It's a very, very, very comfortable recipe for me. And It's weird because like it's that level of, I don't want to say mastery because that seems like ridiculous. Like, listen, I'm still using a blender, right? Like the real badasses use a whisk. I'm not going to bother to learn that. But like I have a level of comfort making hollandaise where like when you were like, oh, like I'm having trouble with this, I didn't understand.
Right.
Because I'm so used to making this that I can't process where the hard, and like there are hard parts. It took me time to learn how to make this, but like it just doesn't even make sense to me anymore. It's just like, no, you just make it, you know.
It just works. I think that's a really cool sign of your progress, though, as a chef, because you worked as a chef, correct?
I worked as a cook, and the only reason I make that correction is because it's like giving me a doctorate when I haven't earned it.
Okay.
Like, a chef is a thing, and you fucking respect chefs. I was a cook.
You were a cook. So you worked as a you were employed as a person who makes food. And, you know, it's easy to work a job and think, like, I've done this for so long that it doesn't even feel like something I can do that no one else can. But then you see me doing this, and it's difficult for me because I'm a layperson who only learned to cook eggs on a fryer, like, 3 years ago. And... Mm-hmm. I mean, that's totally a sign that, like, you've gotten fucking good at it in Alaska in like, the last however many years that you've been cooking. It's a total sign. Like, it's really easy. What I mean is, like, it's really, really easy to get into your own head, like, this is not a big deal. This is just a thing everyone can do. And then you watch, like, a basic person try to do it, and you're like, oh, shit, I'm good at something.
Yeah.
I hope my colossal failure, it was inspirational to you.
Well, it makes me want to make you do more cooking. Because it's one of my favorite things. I just love cooking. And I want to share it with other people. And not like, you know, like some people say that it's like, I want to share my cooking with other people. It's like, no, I just want to share how cool it can be to make cool things. I don't need you to come and taste this fucking, you know, whatever the fuck I made. Like, I don't know, I do okay, but, like, you go to restaurants, you've had good food before.
Yeah.
It's more just, like, the feeling of, like, bringing it together with your own effort is really special.
Right, and it really demystifies food, too, because you can go to restaurants all your life, and you give the person money, and then you wait 20 minutes, and then a steak comes out. And you don't mm-hmm. think about what went into making that steak. Not even, like, how they killed the cow and all this stuff. Like, no, literally, in the kitchen, someone slapped a steak on a plate and cooked it and put it in the oven, or put it however you cook steak, you hopefully cook it on. No, you don't cook steak in the oven.
I winced a little, I'll be honest.
I'm sorry, no, I realized after I said it. You don't cook steak in the oven, I know. And then you
slap it on a plate and just...
just throw that plate in the oven, and it hit the steak button, and that steak comes out. No, but, like, you put all the spices on there, and then it becomes food that a person can eat. And, like, when you learn to make steak, you demystify that, and you go, oh, this person just did this. And for some people, that, like, fucks up the magic of going to restaurants. Like, I'm sure you mm-hmm. eat food at, like, a standard, like a Chili's or something, and you're like, oh, this guy, like, clearly skimped on cooking the meat correctly in this way.
I'll be honest. Half the time now at restaurants, if I have Eggs Benedict, I'm like, you're fucking trash at making hollandaise. This is embarrassing. I actually get genuinely, like, snobbish about hollandaise now, and it's kind of embarrassing.
But Six, you're never snobbish.
They're fucking bad at it.
You're never snobbish about anything, Six.
I generally am not. Except for fighting games, I guess, and Eggs Benedict.
I just want to have Eggs Benedict. The thing is, the funny thing is, I don't consider hollandaise to be a hard recipe. Even I don't think it's hard, and I'm, again, just a regular person. But when I looked up, like, hollandaise in Google, one of the first things was, like, restaurants that can serve me Eggs Benedict, because I can't fucking make it myself. And I was like, dog, mm-hmm. I don't think it's hard. I don't think you're, like, why don't you just do it? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, if we defer all of our things to, like, I want to go to a store that does this for me, then we're losing, like, some fundamental skill that shouldn't be hard. Working with eggs is not actually hard. I've learned that over the last couple of years.
And also, like, I mean, here's the part of the thing. You talked about, like, how you're more excited for baking than cooking, right?
Yeah.
Part of the thing that is wonderful about getting good at cooking is you're like, so, okay, like, the recipe I suggested for you, which was just, like, me writing down what I remembered, basically. I suggested paprika and cayenne, right?
Yeah.
Most recipes don't have cayenne.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is I'm comfortable enough making hollandaise now that I'm just like, okay, I'm going to put more of the things I like in it.
Right.
And it will turn out as a thing I like more.
You get the option to change it up.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, you can go to, you know, a restaurant and get their, like, their standard thing, and it'll be good, but it'll be suited to the taste of the person who made it. And if you want to fine-tune it to your tastes, you're going to be the one who has to do that.
Right, only you know your palate. And, like, with baking, mm-hmm. you can't be like, all right, I'm just going to jimmy up, a little extra, I'm going to put extra sugar this time. Like, no, you can't, or, like, extra flour. Like, no, that's not going to make a better cake. It's not going to make a more fun cake. You're going to make a wrong cake if you put more.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I find it frustrating, is because there are parts of baking you can mess with, but there are a lot that you can't. And I just like, let me improvise. Get out of the way. So.
I gotta take you to an improv class sometime. That's what this means. Can you imagine us having an improv class?
No.
Why is that?
Since you asked, I cannot.
Huh.
I can imagine you in an improv class and me outside, like, on my Switch waiting for you to finish so we can go home.
And I can beat your ass in Guilty Gear. No, we gotta, I'm gonna take you to a nightclub and then we're gonna go.
Oh, God. I felt the panic for a second there.
The
don't do that to me.
I got you, the panic at the
disco. I fucking hate you.
Yeah, I know. No, this is why we can meet in real life, but we can't, like, spend extended time in real life, because I'm gonna be like, let's go out, and you're gonna be like, and you're gonna dissolve into a puddle. It's gonna be fucking awesome.
If we were ever roommates, it would be the worst.
Yeah. I used to be like that. Whatever. No, not like I used to be like that. I'm an introverted extrovert, but that's a conversation for a different day.
Mm-hmm. You aspire to extrovert them, and I do not.
Yes. When I was like, even in high school, I was 100% introvert, and I just hit a certain point where I was like, the thrill of being surrounded by people who are listening and care about what I'm saying is worth the fear of getting there.
Me, I'm about that ultimate thrill. Being alone in the dark on my bed.
Watching.
Yeah. No, just, you know, with the wall.
Oh.
Or Girls Frontline.
Yeah, but.
Just snuck that in there.
Download on the App Store today. Six, but dude, bombard us out of here, please. Jettison us. That's the word.
So what kind of rating would you give the experience of cooking Eggs Benedict?
4 stars.
No, I get Hollandaise, excuse me.
4 stars.
Cool. All right, well, keeping up my trend of good homework for you then. Well, I'm probably not going to get to give you any homework this week. Partially because of the outcome of this DM.
Womp womp.
That's not really true. Neither of the players that we
We're
have
on
anything.
Our fantasy team. Yeah.
But, you know, it was a transition to the DM.
Did I not get any points for Hong Chul being a motherfucker?
No, actually.
Can we add a point for being a motherfucker?
Oh, wait, no, you did, actually.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you got some flashback points for him being a motherfucker.
Yeah. So, this DM was the return, and we were hoping that they weren't going to do any returning games this season, but whoops.
Yep.
Sun, Moon, and Stars is back, baby.
Mm-hmm.
The least interesting game of all time.
That's harsh.
Okay, it's not as bad as Rock, Paper, Scissors. The problem with Sun, Moon, and Stars is the outcome is already determined, and you're just watching things happen.
I mean, the outcome is already determined, but neither party knows that. Is the thing. Like, we're sitting here, we're getting to see, like, the reactions of the people in the back be like, here's, you know, like, oh, yeah, I helped him out, you know? But, like, if you're Uncule, you're like, okay, I asked Jinho for help. Did he help me? Because last time, Jade Kyung asked a lot of people for help, and some of them said yes and then didn't.
Right. Am I being fucked over?
Right.
It's the equivalent of a gear check. It's an alliance check. Like, are the alliances that you made not only good, like, numerous, but stalwart?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have good alliances? If not, RIP your ass entirely. Because you can't make plays like Uncule betting it all on Star or whatever, Moon in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, putting, like, 100 points on that and being like, I got this, and then losing. Like, that doesn't work. That does not work unless you have good alliances. It blows up in his face.
Yeah. And, like, I went into this, like, when it was Hong Chul versus Jae Kyung, I went into that not really having any doubt as to how it was going to go.
Yeah.
I guess how it was going to turn out, how it was going to go still surprised me, but I was like, but I went in being like, Hong Chul's going to win this. It's just a matter of how. With this one, I thought I had an idea of how it might go, but I was not sure who was going to win.
My problem was just, it's the two least interesting characters of the season just bumping against each other. And I was like, I don't care. I'm so bored. I don't like either of you. Hmm. Like, these are just, this is not, and I'm not invested in this. I'm not watching big plays happen. I'm not, like, watching alliances pay off until the very end. Like, my only thing I have, like, written in my notes about the DM is that the Hong Chul moment was really good.
So, I think it's, I mean, the Hong Chul G1 thing, we'll have to talk about in depth, because I think it's a whole thing. But, like, I think it's an interesting case of, like, I mean, so Yu Young also betrays Uncule.
Correct.
And so first of all, I would say that, like, personally for my money, I think Yu Young is less interesting as a player than G1 is. I think G1 is not uninteresting. I think G1 is not always very smart, but he's doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see his progression. And fortunately, I will get to, because spoilers, Uncule is the one who goes home.
Right.
But, like, there's the dynamic of, like, okay, because the alliance doesn't hold solid. It's not that, like, the people who backed Uncule stay with him. Some of them switch, and some of them don't. And it's interesting to think about why. For Yu Young, I think it's as simple as she just felt, like, the whole thing felt gross to her, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, she is the one who sort of gave away the fact that there was definitely a traitor, Because so we didn't talk about it, but as they were getting ready to pick someone as the elimination candidate, they like brought the members of the losing team in one by one to basically interview them and be like, who would you pick? Who do you think should go to the DM?
Yeah.
And they brought in Yoon Sun, good, smart lawyer Yoon Sun, who's one day going to earn me a lot of points.
Sure.
And she was like, if I went, she's like, I think I should go because I feel responsible because this was my team and I didn't lead us to victory. If I went, I would either pick Sangmin or Eunkyul. And Yoo Young pipes up and is like, oh yeah, I can see a good reason for both of them. And it's like, hold on. Sangmin obviously was involved in the planning and his plan didn't work.
Correct.
What did Eunkyul do? Literally, what did Eunkyul do way? And that's what gets her thinking. And I don't know if it was a slip, right? I don't know if that was Yoo Young. Like, I want to give Yoo Young more credit than to think that she just, like, accidentally let it out. I think she was looking for some karmic justice.
Oh, it's possible. I think she has more a lot of investment in the alliances in this game, more than others do, and more than we give her credit for. But
and also just, like, I mean, how, like, what does it mean for someone to decide to eliminate someone like that, right? How do you work with Eunkyul going forward, knowing that he's a person who will say, I want this person to go home. They have done nothing to me, but I've decided.
Right. It's their time to go. That requires a very specific type of person. That's a good point. Uh-huh. Very specific kind of, like, type of brain.
And, like, how do you trust someone like that? How do you work with a person like that when you're like, what if they've decided that, like, actually, the problem here is that the women keep banding together, so I need to make every woman go home.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm constantly fascinated by how will they make those choices, because, like, you use a certain part of your brain for the game, the main match, you use a certain part of it for the DM, and then you use a completely different part of it for determining, like, ranking your alliances with people. And I think that's where it gets kind of dark, to be honest with you. Like, realizing, like, gun to my head, who would I keep alive in this game right now between X number of people? And having to make those decisions, like, I would personally, like, have a ton of stress trying to do that, make that decision. Because you're ranking people, you know? Like, we're playing Fantasy Genius and thinking about, you know, how are these players good? How are they going to get me a lot of points? But it's obviously low stakes. Like, we don't have any money riding on this, and we're not, like, this all aired already, so it's not, like, something live where we're, like, hoping we can watch it change in person. We're just betting on TV that has already happened. And we're just, and it's, like, low stakes and low, you know, investment. But it's fun. But when you're in the game and you're saying, I'm gonna make this person not be on the show anymore, that requires a very specific kind of, like, thinking that is really, it's kind of dark.
Maybe,
Am I full of shit?
I mean, fuck, I'm an entertainer, right? Let's just go for it.
Yeah.
If we were on a season of The Genius right now with our friends, I know who I'd send home and who I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, it depends on the game.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I mean, like, just sort of generally speaking, I'm like, okay, like, if I was the elimination candidate, I know I could tell you right now who I would pick for the DM. And, like, I'm not going to do that. But, like, I think I'm capable of making that calculation.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's very flattering to me, necessarily. But I can see that mindset.
I can see it, too. I would hope people are nice enough to not be like, well, you're going under, bye, and then just toss you right under the bus. I would hope.
Yeah, I would at least, like in the DM, it seems like G1's playing it pretty cool, but also it seems like Uncule's playing it pretty cool, and I don't feel like he should be.
It doesn't seem like he knows his ass is on the line.
Well, and it also doesn't feel like he knows that he's standing next to a person who he screwed just because, and that person knows that.
Yeah.
Like, they're just two people there having some fun playing a game. But G1 is like, and G1's being a good sport, but G1 knows that you sent his ass to the DM just because you felt like he had too much TV experience?
Right.
Like, my dude, that sucks.
Yeah, it feels like...
I would have been out for blood.
Against Uncule?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Same. That's fair.
If you know, like, the fucking, like, one of those moments where he's, like, ha-ha, and, like, laughing and, like, goes for, like, a high five with G1 in the middle of the game,
I probably
legitimately would have said, don't touch me.
Yeah, right. And not even in, like, a really, like, a truly, like, if we leave this game, I'll hate you way, but in, like, a, you're out of my great good graces in this game.
Yeah, like, at least take a day and think about this shit, my dude. You can't be my friend 5 minutes after you fucked me over. It's gonna take a little longer.
There's a huge difference between that kind of con, which, like, fucks up the main match for a ton of people, and then Hong Chul's con, which is, I lied to both players, and I'm a cackling I'm a cackling evil angel in the background. Like, that's a fun con. That's, they even make the joke of, like, Hong Chul is a con artist that cons con artists.
And it's also, just like, you had to see it coming.
Yeah. Right.
Like, when they're getting ready for to announce the elimination candidate, Hong Chul is the one making the announcement, and he's like, I just want this person to know that this is not personal. A deal was made that we have to honor, and otherwise this would not happen. And everyone else is like, why are you saying this? Like, if that isn't a clear telegraph that he has regrets about this whole process and is obeying the letter of the alliance and nothing more.
I don't know, like, what it is.
Yeah, like, you had to understand, and also, like, I mean, everyone there's a Korean celebrity. They know way better than I do that Hong Chul and G1 are tight as fuck.
Right.
You had to know that Hong Chul maybe wasn't gonna be completely on your side here.
It feels like a misplay, like a fundamental missing the point on Hong Chul's part. Because we talked, I think, in, like, week one or two when G1 just, like, lied to people or made, like, a play that was completely against his team. And it's like, oh, you don't want to do that now because you don't have, like, good alliances, and that's not... There's no point to that. Uncule's play didn't win him anything. It got him sent to the DM. It got him sent to the DM with a person who's out for his blood, and it got him out of the game. Like, A, B, C, D. He basically eliminated himself. Congratulations.
Yeah.
He sent him... He lost himself the game. He sent himself to the DM. He lost himself the DM. Like, my guy, how is this going to work for you?
He honestly would have been better off trying to buy off Songmin than Hong Chul.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Songmin, like, Songmin can be swayed by currency. Hong Chul has loyalty. And, like, it's a loyalty that has lasted through multiple television programs. You're not going to buy that with two garnets, my dude.
There is truth in confusion, as Songmin says, as they quote him as saying.
It's such a good, and it's so true. Like, it's a thing that, you know, it's putting into words something that, of course, I think all of us have recognized, which is, like, when someone's been caught on their bullshit, they start fucking talking a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Songmin remains a great observer of people.
Right. Which is such a good skill in this game. Good God.
Mm-hmm. He even sniffed out the betrayal. He even sniffed it out before it went bad. He said, like, when Jung-hyun came out, he met Jung-hyun's eye, and he turns to Yun-sun and is like, I think we've been read. We need to change our plan now.
My dude knows.
And Yun-sun waves him off.
He's real good.
And, like, you know, even if they change, like, I'm partially saying this because I'm going to get a DM from Reese in a half a week here when this episode comes out. But, like, listen, I know if they change plans, then Uncule still would have been in on the plan, and he still would have signaled, and it still would have gone bad.
Yeah.
But at least he had the read.
That's a good point. I guess it's a fun episode. We got a lot out of it. It's an episode that made me think a lot about alliances. And the value of those and the value of the DM and stuff. But, like, you made that point earlier, which is really true. Like, this DM is the meat of this episode. The main match is kind of nothing. Other than the betrayal.
Uh-huh. It did make me think about, though, like, when I first saw the initial teasing for the main match, I was like, is this, like, are we going to get, like, a main match version of Red Light, Green Light?
Right.
Like, what is...
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah.
Which I'm kind of glad we didn't, because I don't want this to turn into a show about, like, physical challenges. But also, this season has had more of an element of physicality than previous. I mean, we've had the, like, the like running around and attaching stickers during the food chain game. Yeah. And now we've got the like hopping back and forth across the line. And to what degree should a level of physical genius be represented?
Yeah, when can we just have an android play the genius? That's what I want to know.
Was that question related to mine?
Well, you're talking about physicality. You're talking about physicality, and I'm just saying, what if there was something that didn't have a physical form? Like, could an AI play the genius?
Hmm, I see.
And in games like this, probably not. There's a human element. There's a fundamental human element in the Blackout game.
You're saying AI aren't people?
I didn't say that. Nier Automata is a good game. Please stop yelling at me. Don't DM me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nines like, is a cop. Go on.
Imagine, actually, just imagine, like, just as a gimmick episode of the show, if there was, like, you know, like, a Deep Blue stand-in for the genius. You know, just this big fucking supercomputer that was just calculating and being like, I want to partner with Hong Chul.
Because it has determined that Hong Chul is the best, yeah.
Or whatever, yeah. It would be really weird to see how that would affect, you know, because, you know, there's that fucking computer that played Jeopardy, and, like, whatever, good for them. But, like, this is a different thing, and I wonder how a computer would do at mind games.
I would like to think that Deep Blue is, like, gets all the way through the main match by just forming good alliances, and then they have to spin a wheel for which DM they get, and one of them is chess, and Deep Blue is like, please, 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 please. And then it, like, hits chess, and then the wheel ticks, like, one more time, because Hong Chul flicks it, and it's like, physical challenge, running up a wall, and Deep Blue just goes, sigh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no. I am going home. I thank you for everything. This was so much fun. I love all of you. Goodbye.
I learned a lot about life. In life, we go through hard times as well as easy times. In the record industry, we have a saying.
Always have good lawyers.
Robo Songman for the Genius Season 7.
Oh my
Let's do
God,
it.
God, I want it. I want, like, the Genius 2300, and it's just, like, songman.exe. It's just elements of his personality tossed in there. Oh, God, yes. Like, we are way beyond the point of even having celebrities, but they just kept Lee Sungmin's, like, AI in there. Oh, yeah, I would fucking watch the hell out of that.
That'd be pretty good. We're completely off on a tangent.
Yeah, who was the genius?
So, this week on The Genius, we had fantasy points.
We did.
Somehow I managed to use the plural, even though I got 3 fantasy points this week. It was a bad week for me.
Womp, womp, womp.
Oh, boy. I want to say that this week was a bad week for everyone gaining points, but that's just literally not true because you got 68 points this week.
Fuck yeah, baby. What can be the big points? Give me the breakdown.
I mean, you got some points from, everyone did well. You got 30 from Jinho.
Yeah.
You got 22 from Hong Chul.
Love it.
And you got 16 from, Junghyun, who here are his days so far. 14, 15, 16, 16. That's a consistent performance.
My man, he's won all of them, and he's won every single one of them.
He's won every single main match.
The GOAT.
So
continues.
That means, of course, that I have lost and I will receive homework. I will also very quickly update you on the overall totals. I have 100 exactly, and you have 157. So I've got some ground to make up.
I believe in you. I believe you can do it.
I guess we'll see. All right. What's my homework, Alan?
Okay. I picked 2 for you this week. So if you don't pick one, I'm going to give it to you the next time, assuming I ever win again. So without revealing them yet, would you rather for this week? I'm gonna make it easy. I want to accommodate you. So would you rather play a video game or watch a lot of YouTube videos?
Oh, it's like a lot of YouTube videos?
Like almost an hour's worth of YouTube videos.
Is it your K-pop playlist?
It's more than that.
I guess I'll play the game.
Oh, yay. I don't think I've ever signed you a game.
I don't believe you have, no.
Okay, so That's a bummer, because I was going to make you watch, like, the whole spectrum of K-pop from good to bad so you could understand it.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was where we were going.
Do you still have an active Final Fantasy XIV subscription?
Not at the moment.
Fuck!
I can get one, it's fine.
I'll pay for your sub, that's fine. Just give me your Venmo and I'll send you, like, a nickel.
We'll figure it out.
You already know, friend, I'm going to have you play through as much of the Hildebrand questline in Final Fantasy XIV.
Oh, damn it!
Yes. As much as you can.
All in right. A week.
It is finishable. For those that don't know, Final Fantasy XIV Online is it's a Japanese MMO based in the Final Fantasy universe. It incorporates many elements of Final Fantasy and traditional MMOs like World of Warcraft. And the Hildebrand questline is a questline centered around a recurring character who is a zombie private investigator named Inspector Hildebrand and his faithful partner. And they go on detective adventures, and he makes a fool of himself, and it's fucking hilarious, and it's some of the best writing in any video game I've seen in years, and Six hates it.
It's a very high-level quest, and so Alan is able to assign it because I already have a pretty high-level character. And in fact, also Alan knows I have access to the Hildebrand quest because I tried them and thought they sucked.
Yeah.
So here we go, I guess.
I have gone further in it than you have now, and I'll tell you that you just scratched the surface. Like, it goes places. It's really funny. You have to, if people want to try it at home, you have to be about like a level 50. You don't even have to have the expansions. Most of it takes place, or the one that I'm assigning Six takes place within the first, like the base game. Mm-hmm. So once you hit level 50, you can start picking it up. You can just look up how to start it. And it's a pretty long, it's like a 10 or 11 quest chain. Most of it is soloable. There is one part where you have to do a 5-man dungeon. I'll help you do that, Six, if you end up wanting to queue fast. I guess you don't have problems with queues, but. It's really fun. I think you'll have fun with it. I think you'll learn to love it. We're gonna fight.
It could be the first time that we actually fight over homework.
That's not true. We're never going to fight about homework. We're too good of friends. But also, fuck you.
That's true. Do I need to get geared up?
What's your highest level job?
Samurai.
What level is it?
Like 55 or something?
You're fine. It's 50. The highest is 50.
Okay, cool. I was wondering that I would maybe need to get some materia or something. Never messed with materia.
No, that's like a level 70 plus thing. Don't worry about it.
You sure? I don't need to plug it in?
Oh my god.
The long con! Plug zone!
Six is a con man who cons con men. The con artist that cons con artist. Excuse me.
Can I convince you to plug your shit, my friend Alan?
Oh, you want me to get an opportunity to bring more listeners to my shows? Yes, of course. Deep breaths. Here we go. You can follow me on Twitter at Alan Ibrahim. That's spelled AllenIbrahim. Although I am currently taking a summer break from Twitter and most social media. So if you follow me there, you'll get my number to go up, but I'm probably not going to hear anything from you. Sorry, the internet is stressful. You can also listen to me on two other podcasts. One is Fireside Friends, which is found at firesidefriends.net. That's where my friends Katie Ryan and I talk about pop culture, how it affects our lives, and every month we do a shared experience where we talk about a thing together. It's great and nice. You can also listen to me on Chats, a television podcast where my friend Magellan and I watch TV shows, which is a thing we've been doing for most of our friendship, and we discuss them in a critical and sometimes humorous way, and you can find that at chatspod.simplecast.fm. Six.
Excellent.
breath. Sorry.
My Twitter is at sixdetmar, SIXDETTMAR, and I will never log off. If you want to find me, I'm there. I also have two shitpost accounts that you should, of course, know about. There is The Boosted Man, where I post dumb jokes about Gundam. And then there is Push Block This Account, where I post dumb goofs about fighting games. I promoted those on a podcast.
Is it at Pushblock this account?
I think it's just Pushblock. I think it's at Pushblock ACC. I am only recently starting to get into it, so it's a new thing. But I have dumb jokes on all sorts of genres, and I need to share them with the world. Anyway, if you want to know about Scanlan shows, there's a bumper at the end. Thank you so much, folks. and we'll catch you next week.
Bye-bye.